Bayonet!
Oh my gosh.
Cutting Edge Radio.
I was just going to say, I kind of got lost.
You're all scot-free. You're all scot-free on it. Or my sister can get it.
I'm not worried because I try to avoid public as much as I can.
Second time.
Atlanta Braves.
President.
No, I've had usually gets 4 years. Mother Tom Castle's history.
Some of the people who look around the town where I actually talked to one of the women at the boarding house.
Kennedy,
the Russians had already put Yuri Gagarin
that, like, spends money on going to the
we
game.
Just got a couple of stripers. You haven't seen anything yet. We'll be back.
Husband's all right, Mrs. Brody. He's fishing. He just got a couple of stripers. We'll bring him in for dinner. We won't be long. We haven't seen anything yet. Okay, out.
I'm gonna go put a baseball hat on since you guys both have yours on. I need to join the cool kids club.
Can you guess what hat I'm wearing right now?
I'm gonna guess.
I bet you, Clark, for the second time, you will not guess this hat.
Oh my Baltimore gosh. Orioles. No, Atlanta Braves.
Oh my gosh.
No, I've had it on before on a show, and
Angels.
you couldn't.
Cleveland Guardians. Oh, it's the Angels. Hold on,
Bob.
I might actually go see them on Monday night. They're coming here to play the Braves.
Yo, you know what? If I moved to California and I was, you know, like how I was when I moved down here, I would jump on that A's team because they seem like the only team in California other than the Dodgers that, like, spends money on going to the game.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, we don't have all the best players. We literally have the best pitcher since, like, you know, Babe Ruth, but they have, like, all this other cool shit going on, like, as just like a sports fan.
Yeah.
I remember the elephant like gimmicks that they do there and stuff. It's like, it's fun.
I remember when they won the World Series that season. That baseball season, it was like the list of top, it was like the top 10 best giveaways, you know, like if you're a season ticket holder, you know, and, you know, you have 10 games, every game there's like some weird thing that they like give away, like a bobblehead or whatever.
Oh, really?
The Angels, like 10 game season ticket plan giveaway package had like the most value, like
out of any other team.
Like they gave
a
cooler that was like an actual cooler. It wasn't like a cooler that like disintegrated after one like tailgate.
It like wasn't like an almost CBS. Cardboard cooler. So it's cardboard? No, it's almost there. It's going to fall apart.
Phillies were doing one a few years ago and I went to it and it was, I just got a pair of like a dead hooker's pair of panties. So,
yo, do you remember growing up the cool giveaways at like businessman specials and stuff? It was like mini bats they had. Like
I never bought into it. I was like, yo, for some reason I'm gonna go to this game and I'm not gonna get that until they did the Harry Callis Richie Ashburn bobblehead giveaway game.
Oh yeah.
And I thought, and me and Rye, my brother, we were like, the Phillies suck. This is going to be, we'll drive to the game. We'll drive to the stadium and we'll buy tickets and we'll walk right in.
Yeah.
I mean, that game was sold out.
Like, I got this.
Like months in advance.
I would have been the same thing. I would have been like, yeah, we'll just roll up.
It's Richie Ashburn and Harry Callis. Like they've been involved with the Phillies for like 100 years. Like,
yeah. Yeah. 100 years.
Oh yeah. I just, they were so cool.
Ryan and I paced the parking lot like drunk, nice. Like thought we were going to walk right in, got into a huge fight. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
I got this at my first Phillies game in 1988, I think.
No way.
It's one of those. I mean, it's
oh, I remember those.
Yeah.
Is that like an
80s? Dude, that is
like,
so cool.
Yo, that's something that like now a dad needs.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually, like an extra pocket.
I tried to wear it to the beach one day, but Vanessa said, you're taking that thing off.
Wait, what is it, though? Is it for to store stuff, right?
Yeah, it's like a little thing. Like, you can put, like, you know, money and shit in it. And, you know.
That's
like,
awesome.
Bob, it's it's convenient, but
yes,
it's maroon.
It is.
You know, white guys like us, maroon is so risky.
It doesn't work.
Maroon and gold day, and you're doing a throwback. I don't know why that's gay, but canceled.
Canceled at school.
Do you remember
maroon and gold day? I was always red.
It was always red. It was always gold too. My mom made me wear like the urine colored shirt, and I'm just like, oh, this clash is like the Titans.
So and our field day, Bob, was maroon and gold day at St. Jude, and I always, in my opinion, gold was they were the good guys. Maroon, they were the heels. They were the villain. They were the antagonist. That's how I looked at it.
The color.
I don't know why. I was evenly both teams.
It's like the color of blood or something. I don't know. It's just evil.
Right. And they when I was all maroon, I was like, yes, I'm the villain this year.
I'm the villain.
I can be a dick to everybody today.
It was so bizarre, too. They made you hold these metal pipes. They were like the batons. And they're like, you're 8 years old. Go hold this metal pipe and run with it really quick across the concrete. Throw it at another kid to give it to him to pass the baton. So you're like 8 years old and you're like gladiating with these like metal batons running through. It was like Lord of the Flies. It was this whole thing going on.
Were you ever – that was the thing, Bob, like at the end of the event because – you know, they like pretended to keep score, but it really was like who wins the Grand Slam relay at the end of the maroon and gold day. And it was like two people from first grade, second grade, third grade, all the way up to eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
It was wild.
Did you ever race anyone?
Yeah, not a maroon and gold day, but do you remember that episode of Seinfeld where Seinfeld wins like twice? That happened to me in real life with Agnew. They were like timing. It wasn't maroon and gold day, but it was gym class. And Mrs. Walk had the
there's no way. There's no way you can blow Agnew out. He can't run.
Well, she did that. And I definitely jumped ahead for some reason. Like maybe she felt sorry for me or she didn't pick up on it. But she didn't say like Clark jumped ahead. So I was clearly like a 2 second start of Agnew. And I beat him by like, you know, 3 seconds. And he was like, he ran ahead, and for some reason, like, nobody picked up on that. And I was like, beat you fair and square, buddy. And, like, I never would, like, race him again. This is, like, third, fourth grade or some bullshit. But that was, it really happened.
For everyone watching, I consistently do a podcast with this Michael Agnew that Clark is talking about and Matthew
Clark.
He's
a great guy.
I feel like if I can't coordinate a race between you two right now as 40-year-old men.
Right.
Then what am I doing on the internet? I don't belong.
I feel like Agnew would
don't you think we
need
to have
me.
Them to race?
We need to have the rematch.
It's pretty realistic.
The rematch,
like,
absolutely.
You have parents in the Northeast, both of you.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, Clark, you'd beat him.
I feel like I could beat him in a sprint if it was like a 30-yard relay. But if we're talking like a mile, there's going to be a paramedic. There's going to be defibrillators.
If it
would
carrying
have to be
things, if it, you know what it is? If it's putting a friend on your back and carrying them up a hill, I may have to give the edge to Agnew because that's kind of like all he did throughout our friendship.
Carry those. I wish I had I wish there was some person from elementary school that I had a rival with still to this day over something trivial like a race that I could constantly dodge it and like gain the upper hand because I'm like, well, I live far away, I'm not going to do it, but I beat you. I choose not to run for the better good.
Yeah, talk shit and always have a good excuse about why you can't do it.
That's my motto. That's my MO, of course.
So how the hell have you guys been doing? So here's why I was late. Ready? On the calendar that I've like demanded that Heather like give me, like send me, because like she's so social that she makes all these plans and I'm just like, you didn't tell me. And she's like, I told you. I'm like, you told me once. That doesn't count. I need it like written down somewhere that I can like refer to.
Of course.
Our reservations were for 7 o'clock on our calendar.
Oh.
And then at like 5 o'clock when I'm like, you know, looking for a cliff to jump off because we still have 2 hours before we leave. I was like, yo, when does Nick get here? She's like, she's going to be here at 7.
Yeah.
My calendar says our reservations are at 7. Are we eating here at home?
Yeah.
She's like, well, it's 7:15. I was like, oh, no. I was like, it's so funny when Heather tries to lie to me.
You can see right through that web of lies.
I'm like, and I told her the other day, I was like, because when Hannah lies, it's like so bad. She goes, yo, Dad, for real. But when Charlie lies, she just commits. She's like, no, I'm not sitting here. I'm not a good girl. I'm like, are you being a good girl? She's like, no.
No.
I was like,
I'm going to own this.
Heather, all the genetic like liquid that contributes to a good liar, Hannah got none of.
Oh.
And Charlie got all of it.
I'm
like, she has Charlie, those genes.
I was like, I thought you learned sarcasm. I didn't know you could like genetically just pass it on.
When she gets it from the master, it's a trait.
I think there'd be a good genetic predisposition to it. I think, and then they just hone in on it then, and they make it better.
I think they make it better. Yeah, I think genetically it improves.
I was like, if this chick is not a lesbian, what man is gonna fucking deal with this? There's no way.
There's no way.
Yeah.
I'm feel like maybe a trans person would be able to put up with you.
Maybe a trans person.
Maybe a trans person will be like, all right, you're just impossible.
Right. Like if it's non-binary, like if Ezra Miller was putting up with her, it'd be fine. But
it's
if
like,
you're talking
it's like
about
I would it's like I was on the box of Wheaties in the 80s and now I suck dick. So.
What a fall from grace. I used to be on. How does that story unfold? Yeah, I got tits and a dick, but I used to be on Wheaties, so it's fine.
I was once the ultimate man. Like I did a decathlon and won gold medals.
Yeah.
How many people can say that? What happened? I don't know. Bob, from the angle I'm looking at, it looks like you have two black eyes, but I know you don't. It's just the shadow, but it looks like somebody slugged you. But I know that's not possible because nobody could take you out because you're like a
beating on me
machine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, lucky for you, Clark, Bob and I don't have any English genetics. We're just like pure Irish, German, Scottish, like almost see-through.
Yeah.
Right, almost see-through. Bad. Almost translucent.
Like English people, there's like black people over in England.
So yeah.
I feel like maybe. Clark, how hot is it in California right now?
It's brutal, man. It's been like 100 degrees for like 12 days.
How hot is it?
I sat Heather down this week and I go, you need to wrap your head around the fact that it's going to be 110 every day here in 10 years. Yeah. And I'm not living.
No, no way. You got to have that conversation. The wife and I have already been like, having it. We're like, she's 90% set on like New Hampshire, which obviously isn't like, happening, but it might.
I was like, I'm not moving back to Philly, but like,
yeah,
Nebraska, maybe.
Somewhere above the Mason-Dixon line. It's just too hot. It's like there's a point where you're like, I can't do it.
Because you can still be in the South and be in the mountains and it's cooler.
That's true.
You literally, like, there's a place called Highlands, North Carolina. You drive up there and you start the drive up on the, the switchbacks going up to the mountain. Like, it's a mountain, but not like, you know, you'd see in the Rockies.
The Smoky, man. It's not the Appalachians or the Rockies. Yeah, it's
the Smokies.
It's a bunch of Smokies.
It's a bunch of beautiful hills.
But it's always like 10 degrees cooler once we get up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude, like State College, like, I mean, they call it Happy Valley, but it is in the middle of the Appalachian Mountains, and the weather there kind of like has its own decisions. But I feel like little pockets like that are the only safe ones.
Yeah, like, it's places like that you got to think about.
The ocean. It's only
going to get so hotter. Florida, I mean, I can't. How hot is it there now? It's got to be like 110.
Yo, today it was like the nicest day in like a month. Nice. And it was 91.
Cool 91.
I took Hannah to our like community pool, and you can tell they turned the heater, you know, like they turned the warmer off because the pool wasn't cold, but it wasn't like it was last weekend where it was like, I'm not in a hot tub, but this isn't refreshing at all. Like, this is refreshing when I put my body out of the water and the wind hits it.
Right. That's like the sweet spot. And if the water's too warm, it ruins the whole thing.
And I don't know if you guys have the same thing, but, you know, like our AC was acting up a few weeks ago and we just had it repaired, I think like last summer or something. So it was still under warranty for whatever that repair was. And he came out and it was like 98 degrees here, and we put it down at night to like 67, 66.
Nice.
I like to sleep in a meat locker.
That's how I am, Bob.
Like, and he's like, you should never.
I want to be shivering.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want all the covers on me too.
Yeah.
That's my goal temperature is I want it to be when it's like 100 degrees outside, I want to have like a hoodie on inside because it's that cold. You know, that's like the end game. Like when you go to a hotel, it's always up like 60 degrees all week long because you're not paying.
Just get in there, always knock it down to as low as it'll go.
Oh, yeah.
So, but
you want to wake up like angry.
This guy said that the AC repair guy was like, you should never run your AC more than a 20 degree difference of what the outside ambient temperature is. And I'm like,
really?
Yeah. I'm not having this at 75 or when it's 180.
Yeah.
What's the point? I was going to shut it off and open the windows up.
Right. At that point, it's like,
you can't do this what it's intended for. It's like saying you can't cook your meat 30 degrees warmer than the temperature outside. It's like, well, I don't want salmonella. I want to be cool.
I remember in Philly, in Oxbow Ridge, Chalfont, Pennsylvania.
Oxbow Ridge.
Jeff being like in like November, being like, yo, if you're too hot, just open the window. And I'd be like, what do you mean? He'd be like, open the window like that much.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like,
right.
Okay,
Dad. And
dude, for the rest of my life, like state college, like just that little crack. It doesn't matter how many blankets you pile on.
It's that fresh,
which will sneak in your butthole.
Oh, it goes right up the crevice.
You just sleep better.
Do you remember? I remember as, I don't know if you guys did this, John, you slept over a few times and we had the system going, but the fan was on in the summer, like a cool summer night, like an August night. And my parents had those like rotary fans or whatever they're called that you could put in the window. You have one of those in the window and the fan on. It is like 30 degrees in August in there. You sleep like a little baby.
But you know what else it is? Yeah, that was the original white noise.
Right.
Which Charlie now, like our youngest, like we have like white noise, like it's like Taylor Swift volume level. It's like so loud. It's like try to stay awake. But in the morning, if we forget to turn it off and like she comes downstairs and she's like sitting on the couch, she'd be like, yo, turn my fucking noise off.
Yeah, it's like
dude, Charlie is me with like a better brain. It's like she has Heather's. It's like me with Heather's brain. It's like she retains so much more. She's like, yo, that noise shit that you put on in my room, turn it off. I'm awake now.
It sounds like
rid of it.
An airliner idling on the tarmac. That's the volume level.
The white noise.
And she's like, either turn the engines off or just let's get off the plane. Like, what is wrong? Dude, she is
stupid.
Like, if she's not a lesbian, I don't think there's any man that will be able to deal with my youngest daughter. Like, she's just the biggest cunt I've ever met.
She's going to be wearing the pants in any relationship that she's in.
I'm like, Hannah.
Good.
Hannah is all Heather. Like, she's so nice. And Charlie is like, if I was a girl, just the biggest bitch.
That's what you want to have. She's going to take like, care of shit.
Good. Tune that up a notch. Because,
yeah, especially in high school. Kick it way up.
Dude. Yeah, the kick it in the second wind.
It goes to 11. Doesn't go to 10. It goes to 11.
Right. I'm like, I'm not discouraging her cuntiness. Like,
no.
Go on with
embrace
your
it.
Half Jew, full daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Attitude.
Oof. Yeah, embrace it.
That's quite a combo.
This is South Florida.
Right. That's also the thing. It's like, we're also here, South Florida. It's like, if we were in New York or South Florida, I'm like, make sure everyone knows you're half Jewish.
Exactly.
They say, yeah, turn it up.
They say, play into they say it. Half whatever else. You just say half daddy.
Yeah, you go and do a Panera every Sunday and order a bunch of bagels and say, you call these bagels, and throw them back in the staff's face.
Right.
Right.
And make a lot of references to Long Island.
Then she goes to Flakowitz. Flakowitz. And she's like, in Queens at 5 a.m. on a Sunday after Temple.
After Temple, so we used to go down to the sweet shop. The mayor used to own that, I think. The sweet shop up in Northport.
They do these like, dude, Clark, like they do like Jewish church songs or, you know, Jewish, you know, whatever. You know, like the songs that were like, you know, hardwired into our brain. In
see a humba cook and yenny quin quos.
Like, oh, see a humba cook and yenny quin quos. They have those, but it's like... We are humble and we don't want to bother anyone. Just we're just gonna
do it.
Shadows. It's literally like a river of material having Japs as daughters, but being like an outsider.
Yeah,
I'm like, what the hell is Shana Tavana? Like,
and you know what's going to work in their favor as they get older is they have the temple Jewish, you know, backing. They can play. They can lean into that. But also because you're raised Catholic, you can lean into that too. So it's like,
and
you
wife,
have two different weapons.
You straddle both sides.
It's pretty neat. It's pretty. It's like if I had like half Asian in me. Or half black,
yeah.
I'd really be hitting the lottery of like I can just say whatever I want.
Oh yeah, blanket covering for anything, whatever you want to do.
No cancel fear. You know what I was thinking about seeing last night, guys, and I didn't. And all the fucking reviews I've been reading today are like, it's one of the most original horror movies like ever. It's another A24, like the savior of cinema. Talk to Me.
Talk to Me. Yeah, I've heard good things about it. You did see it or you haven't?
I haven't, but like all the reviews I've been reading are like, this isn't a horror movie that like you've seen before. And the guys who directed it and wrote it were like Jackass 5.0 on YouTube, you know, like they would do stupid stunts.
Oh, really?
And then I think maybe they wrote it or somebody else wrote it, but they directed it. And from everything that I'm hearing, it's like
different.
It's a breath of fresh air.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm not a horror guy.
Yeah, I think I accidentally when I was at Oppenheimer today, I one of the few times I actually had to go to the bathroom. Because it's a 3.5 hour long movie. Did not take your advice, John. I quickly caught up with like
I didn't take my advice either.
The 87-ounce Diet Coke, so and had it finished by like 15 minutes into the movie, and then
I take a Diet went out Coke, and refilled please.
The two theaters, because we saw it in IMAX, the two theaters were close together, and I never paid attention that I was passing another theater. And when I walked in, I'm like walking around, I'm like, I don't see where my seat is. What the hell's going on here? And I think it was that movie, John. Because I was in there, and like people are starting to look at me, and I'm like,
sorry. Like the Seinfeld episode where George goes to like the 9:15 show, but there's also a 9:30. He's like, "Where are you? Laughing and lying.
There are two theaters. Lying. There's another one that it's showing in.
Hey, are you sure they're not at the other theater?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, it's showing at 9:15 and 9:30. Oh.
It was so dark. I couldn't see anything. So I was like tripping over the steps, trying to get up and everything. It was a mess.
Were you with friends?
No, I was just with my dad. My dad was in the Oppenheimer theater with me.
What did he think of it?
Oh, he loved it. He loved it.
In my opinion, it was like, this is an example of like the best movies that are made. It doesn't matter if it's this year or next year or 5 years earlier or 5 years later. It's like a Spielberg thing. It's like, there's just something about movies made that way where it's like,
You know, I like how they go back and forth when they're, you know, when they're showing Oppenheimer and what he's doing, and then they switch back over to Robert Downey's character, the Admiral
Schultz,
it was. It goes black and white. You know,
when it was in black and white, the script was taken from like literal, you know, words that were documented in that
Senate hearings.
Exactly.
Actual confirmation hearings. Yeah.
It's like when it's in black and white, it's not a script.
I didn't know any of that stuff. I went back and read it and read about it a little bit afterwards this afternoon. And I was like, holy crap, that really happened.
It's one of those movies, dude, where it's like, I need to know more.
Yeah.
And it's real and I need to go dig in. And it's one of those movies where you were like, I was so pumped for Robert Downey Jr. I was like, he is one of the greatest actors that we've ever got. He just played Iron Man for 10 years and everyone kind of forgot that he is one of the best actors, like one of the most believable performers that I've ever watched.
Yeah.
And when he's got his hair off and he's in that room and he's talking to Han Solo 2.0 and he's like, no, you know, he's formulating his like fake conspiracy.
Yeah.
It was so far after the bomb that it was like, how can you follow up if in the middle of the second act is the bomb?
Yeah.
It's like you give Robert Downey Jr., you make him a psycho paranoid, like conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
And he's trying to work through it with his like handlers who already like are like,
Yeah, he grabs the movie and just wrestles it through the rest of the way there pretty much.
It's like without his character, it would have been like,
they would add ending right after we won World War II, after we dropped the bombs.
That would right. Be, yeah. I loved how like he caught it in passing. Like he was like, hearing it on the radio. It's like the movie's called Oppenheimer. It's not called The Atomic Bomb. It's how Oppenheimer experienced it. It was like you were used. And then one of the most important things ever in humanity happened. And you're like them like telling you about it. You heard like in passing on the radio. That's why like Nolan is just.
Yeah.
His movies are events.
Yes.
His movies are events. And to your point with Robert Downey Jr. is people forget he invented himself three times. He started off as the 80s actor that was in like Back to School and Teenager. He did that. And then he went through like, you know, he was pardoned a little bit. And then he did Chaplin, which you're like, okay, he's a serious, really good actor. And then he did like more partying and other movies. And then he came back sober and did
Zodiac,
Iron Man, and Zodiac. And his career should have ended like two different times. And he keeps reinventing himself.
Yeah.
Which I can't think of another actor aside from.
I know.
Like maybe, I don't know. I That's might throw Johnny Depp five. In there, but yes, Johnny Depp doesn't have the same.
But they're both as good. Like. Right. You never doubt Depp. Like as weird as Depp is, it's like I don't see the guy acting. I see whoever the hell he's pretending to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's Depp just, and Downey, man. So amazing.
Yeah, same thing. You always see them, you always see their character, you never see them at all.
And Downey is the villain. Like he is the antagonist of the entire movie.
Yes.
And you don't want him to be. Like
you don't realize it until
you want him to be Tony Stark.
I know. Yeah. You wait and for something like funny to happen.
It's like, remember when he's like, you know, the radioactive isotopes would work just as well as a sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, you're such a nerd that like you're going to hang on to that the rest of your life. And you're going to like try and ruin this like genius's, you know, life who like discovered something who didn't really want to discover it. I just thought if Cillian Murphy doesn't win everything, then like who beats him? Like he was like, I listened to all these interviews and lectures from Oppenheimer the day of that I watched the movie, and the second he starts talking I was like, oh, he got the voice down fucking perfectly. Yeah. And Cillian Murphy isn't like a voice change. You know, he's kind of like, I mean, he's Irish, so he always has to do his accent. But like, I don't know, he just blew me away.
He did. Yeah, he should win everything. That's what my dad and I were saying on the drive back. Like, him and Downey are going to win. They're going to sweep the Academy Awards with
right
performance.
Like, he is a great actor. And if you look at his history, too.
He was Sandman, or he was a Scarecrow.
Yeah, he was Scarecrow, and
Batman,
he did a
Batman
bunch
Begins.
Of. He did a bunch of indie films, and he's another one that you're just gonna keep seeing,
dude. 28 like, Days bigger. Later.
Yeah, that's a great.
Isn't
movie.
He in 28 Days Later, Clark?
Yeah,
28 Days Later,
which is just
the best
really
zombie
him.
Movie ever.
There's like a few supporting characters in there, but it's really like. Yeah, it's like almost like
it's him and a bunch of nobodies.
Right. Yeah. Aside from Brendan Gleeson, I can't think of anybody else in there that. I mean, it's really him. It's kind of like an actor's movie. 28 Days Later. It's him changing, you know, channeling all the emotions to at the end where he's you don't know if he's crazy or whatever. Like it's
when the blood drops into Gleason's eye. Oh. Remember the crow eating
get away
the
from
dead.
Me. Get away from me.
Get away. I was like, this is the scariest movie I've ever seen.
Oh yeah. Remember that episode
and,
of The Office?
Cillian Murphy is the soul of the whole thing.
Oh yeah. Do you remember that episode of The Office where Pam's like, yeah, I was watching 28 Days Later and I'm waiting for Sandra Bullock to show up and I'm waiting. He's like, oh, you thought that was 28 weeks or 28 weeks later, whatever it was.
Is our receptionist Pam?
28 days later, whatever.
Bradley Cooper or Keanu Reeves or whoever it is.
Yeah.
Get away from me.
But have neither of you have seen Barbie, right?
No, but I want to. I hear just such good things about it. I think we're going to see Haunted Mansion, though, tomorrow. So Barbie might be like a later down the line.
That looks cool. Haunted Mansion looks neat. Just because of the
I think Haunted Mansion
looks like from the previews that they kept very true to the Disney ride and everything. It's very – anybody that's been on that ride once remembers it and can relate to that movie.
Yeah. It's
the director,
cool.
The director was like hardcore about – making it look like the actual ride. And there's parts where, you know, remember the pictures where
it looks like the room's moving. This
room is getting
bigger.
And then the paintings show like there's really like a shark underneath.
Yeah.
Apparently they show that part and then they show like the pictures later on in the movie. Like they make that like a part of the plot.
Cool.
I mean, Rosario Dawson and Owen Wilson. Like, I'd watch those two.
Oh yeah,
laundry for 2 hours.
That's gonna be fun. That's gonna be a fun movie.
Yeah,
I love Owen Wilson too. He's still one of my favorite actors. Like, even ever since Wedding Crashers, I always rooted for him. You know,
dude, you know, he was like the second leading man in the Loki series on Disney Plus, and
yeah,
Because he worked for a company within the Marvel Cinematic Universe as the Time Variance Authority. And Loki breaks the rules when the Avengers time travel. So then Owen Wilson is chasing Loki throughout that whole series, and then they become buddies. But now those two are going to be in Deadpool 3 because Wolverine and Deadpool are like time traveling, killing the Fox Marvel Universe. And Owen Wilson is going to be chasing them throughout the whole movie.
So cool.
It's like, hey, Ryan Reynolds, have you had a bad idea?
Yeah. That guy shits gold. I mean,
my God, dude, even his ALF, the ALF commercials that he's had on Mint Mobile about like UFO things, and he's like the Melnac Mint Mobile plan. The guy is like, like, I don't think there's anybody
else.
There's
so much good
in
him.
Like, he reads society so well.
Yeah. He does.
Yeah, he gets it. What do you guys, did you mention Barbie? Have you seen Barbie?
No.
Is it good?
Heather saw it and she was like, and Heather's like the opposite of me. Like, Heather watches a movie like she looks at the cover of a comic book, doesn't read it. She comes back and tells me what the cover looked like.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Like, at times, it was like one of the funniest, like most. She's like, at times it felt like Elf.
Like she's like, I just loved it and I wanted to like live in it.
Oh.
And she goes, but then at times I turned to my mom and I said, this is the stupidest movie I've ever watched. and then I read America Ferrera's like monologue that like ends the movie.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like everything I expected. It's like, yeah, we're horrible.
Right.
100 years
ago, we could learn from this.
The versions of us were really just bad.
Yeah, we're in a bad way right now as a society overall, as a world.
But then yeah. I watched the pitch meeting. I don't know if you guys watched this guy, Ryan George. He started on Screen Rant, but he does the pitch meetings where it's like what the conversation was when they came up with the idea of the movie. And all he does is like poke all the holes in all the plots. And the most recent one is he goes, it's a pitch meeting for Barbenheimer. It's like both studios, like, here, we're going to pitch this idea. It's a movie about men with way too much power. And I'm like, yes, that's what both of those movies are about.
Way too much power. Like, it's true.
Like, everything we did was just bad.
Right. It's a good point, especially with Mattel is like the bad guy in the movie, aren't they? Or is it Mattel? Who's the company that does Barbie?
Yeah, Mattel. But like they do like the
they're like the world, right? It's like Barbie Land or something.
Clark, what's the movie where it's like a bunch of monkeys and then there's like the thing, A Space Odyssey. You know, like it's the movie that like shows our evolution. It's like a bunch of monkeys and then they find like the
right
thing and the monolith and the monolith, right?
Yeah.
It's a bunch of monkeys, and then Barbie is the monolith, like the original Barbie toy.
That interesting.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, sure.
But then it's like there's a moment where it's like they're in Barbie world and everything's happy, and all of a sudden, you know, Margot Robbie's like, did you guys ever think about what happens if we die? And Heather was like, Hannah could see this movie and wouldn't, like, all the jokes would go way over her head. And I'm like, what about Barbie talking about death? She goes, that was irrational thoughts, Barbie.
But she's still saying it.
I'm like, oh, but if they do that, like, if they lean on that, and it's like anything that's kind of weird, they'll be like, oh, that's racist Barbie, or that's lesbian Barbie, or that's, right, you know, confused sexual Barbie, then that could be really funny. But I don't think they do that throughout the whole movie.
Oh, they just like, do it here and there.
It's like if you're skipping a rock across a pond. It's like,
oh, I got it. It's doing like really well, I think. It's like killing.
Dude, it's had the biggest Monday and Tuesday of all time. You know, like when movies make
money. Really? Yeah.
Like Monday and Tuesday, I think they made like 30 million both days, which is nuts.
If you Google Barbie, the screens change to pink and little bubbles pop up. If you just Google it,
you know, it's unbelievable because the amount of money made off of DC, Marvel, G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles, name all the boy toys that you can.
Yeah. He-Man.
And now Barbie is the one girl toy movie that's like mattering.
Yeah. It's six. That's why I'm always like, girl. 600 million in a week. It's grossed. Like 578 million. So by the end of this weekend, it should be like 600 million.
I'm like, there's no plot. Like girl toys. Like Barbie has no plot. It's like dress up.
Yeah,
that's the day.
Right.
I'm like there's no antagonist.
She can be an astronaut. She can be, you know, an architect or you know, whatever who's they say in this trailer.
But who's trying to kill her? Who's trying to stop her from doing it?
Nothing. Nothing stops Barbie.
Were there any? This is the first Barbie movie, right? There hasn't been a. I know there's been cartoons and stuff, but was there ever like a film?
And
it's kind of weird to think about.
I told Heather, I was like, because Heather's mom has all these old Barbie toys that she like hoards. I was like, Barbie will never be bigger. Like, remember when Eminem was in a movie and the movie was kind of like about him?
Yeah. He was never more popular. He was like on every right. single magazine, on every single newspaper.
Yeah, 2002, it was like everywhere. Dude,
it was like, I was like, I almost don't like him anymore. I was right. like, your mom needs to sell these stupid things because they're going to make a sequel because it was successful and the sequel's going to blow. But the anticipation between now and the sequel is going to be, it's the peak of Barbie.
Yeah.
Like Barbie will have never, never will be bigger. It's like when they make a movie about you, that's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing bigger.
That's the zenith. And it's
like, do you sell now or do you wait till they start announcing or like previewing the sequel before it hits theaters and sell then? Like, is the wave going to be higher now or then? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's not even going to, who knows?
Because it's like if they start announcing like the cast for the sequel, and if it's like, Timothy Chalamet is going to be Ken. God damn it. Then you know, it's like, do it now. Like right now.
That's true. Yeah.
Right.
It'll never
break right now.
Because it's almost like it's that in between. They haven't even announced the sequel. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah. Now's the time. That's a good point about Eminem with what was the movie? 8 Mile. That is like the pinnacle. Once you do like the movie, like Vanilla Ice did a movie at one point. You're like, this is it.
He was never bigger than Ninja Turtles.
Right. Yeah. That's it. Like this is the point.
That was his.
Once you throw him in a movie. Barbie's been around since what, the 50s, 60s?
I think the late 50s or early 60s.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right up there with like Marvel.
So yeah, 1959 is when it launched. It's crazy.
And I remember, you know, 10, 20 years ago, they were like, if a human being was shaped like Barbie, her organs would have to be in her shoulder for her to actually function as a human being built that way. I was like, oh, God damn it. And then like...
fun. Let us
last, right. It's like, we know we're never going to be He-Man. Apply it to Barbie. The girls know they're never going to look like her.
Yeah.
Fine. It's fun.
It's like, we understand it's pretend.
Yeah. You don't have to explain it to us.
Who was bigger? I remember my sister had both. My Little Pony or Barbie in like the 80s. What was bigger? Was it?
Ooh, in the 80s? That's a tough one.
Because My Little Pony was kind of like everywhere. Remember, like,
I remember in kindergarten and first grade, like all the girls, when you'd have like you'd bring some of your toys into class every now and again, it would all
show and tell.
Little ponies. It was no Barbies. I don't remember any Barbies.
Yeah. It's like it's like Batman and Superman and Barbie.
Yeah.
They're all like in the same race. It's like there were moments where like the Beanie Babies and you know. My Little Pony and all that nonsense like poked in, but there's this crazy YouTube channel and it's like
Popples.
It's like most valuable intellectual property in America from the 50s to now, and it's fucking crazy. It like shows you, it's like Batman and Spider-Man, they keep switching until like now, and everyone's like, nah, they're tied. And then it's like Superman, Barbie, Sonic the Hedgehog, Mario Brothers, like all these other things.
Oh,
under it.
Yeah.
But it's Batman and Spider-Man dominating from the 50s to today.
Yeah.
They just switch places. Superman jumps in for a little bit, the X-Men for a little bit, but Spider-Man and Batman, they're
consistent.
The most recognizable things on Earth.
Yeah, I can buy that, of course.
Yeah. Show the bat symbol to a kid.
Wonder if that correlates with when they were putting the movies out. You know, if they ever so they put a Spider-Man movie out, then they put a Batman movie out. You know, so they probably never put one out at the same time. I don't know.
No. It was like when the Dark Knight started.
Yeah.
Toby Spider-Man just ended.
Yes, that's right.
It was like, all right, we're gonna get out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, like Tom Holland Spider-Man. His trilogy ended in January. Robert Pattinson's Batman started in March.
Yeah.
It's like Batman and Spider-Man are like, all right.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who we are. Like, even my daughters know both of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, from
Batman,
from as a kid,
he's number one.
You knew who they were. You know, I mean, it's like, it's ingrained.
I'm sure I brought it up on the show before, but like, I watched this study and it was, they went to
30 different countries in the world, and they showed them the Batman logo, the Superman logo, and the Spider-Man logo. And all the kids knew the Batman, like 10 out of 10. Wow. It was like 99% were like Batman. And it's kids who've never seen a Batman movie. They don't have a Batman toy. They just know. Yeah. It's like in 100 years, that will be our Zeus. It'll be Batman.
When they're digging through all the ashes. Amazing. Like 1,000 years, and they're digging through all the ashes and the rubble after we are eventually going back to nuke ourselves. We're going to nuke each other. That's just, we can't have that.
Yeah.
And it sucks because I watched Oppenheimer. I always thought that we will not survive long enough to see the Earth eventually ultimately turn on us like it's starting to do. Yeah.
Dude, Bob, that's what I was like arguing with my brother yesterday. It doesn't matter if we're messing up this planet, because this planet will kick us off.
Well, it fixes itself.
Right.
Yeah. It was here before we were, and it'll be here long after we're gone.
Like, if you listen to Ricky Gervais, he goes, I'm pretty sure Earth just needed plastic for something. And then it made us, and then it got its plastic, and now it's going to throw us off.
Yeah. It's going to chew us up and spit us out.
I'm like, yeah. And I was happy to be here.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's a miracle that we got to be here.
Yeah, it really is. Really is.
But I don't think that we're like the only thing going on here.
No. Chapter. No, we're just, and just there's so much space out there, and there's so much going on out there that, you know, we don't have any capability of, other than looking through a telescope or like the James Webb telescope, that's our best capability of looking into that stuff. I don't think we're ever going to, you know, be able to come across something like an Earth, like, and physically come across it, like go to it.
I wanted to tell you, Bob, since Heather's dad, stepdad passed away, he had three, just not Galileo level telescopes, a telescope where he showed me like Saturn's moons one time, and I got one of them. Whoa. And I put it together tonight.
Yeah, dude, you gotta use that thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I need you to like come down here and like show me like where to point it and like what to do, because dude, I looked through it and I saw the six moons, six moons, and I was like, this isn't fake. This isn't like a drawing. Yeah. Like, this is there.
Yeah, I have a big telescope like that I was lucky enough to get when I was probably...
I remember.
15, yeah.
You wore it out. No one's ever worn out a telescope.
No, you can't. If you take care of it, it never like...
Telescope doesn't have wear and tear.
It's the same thing. Like, you can get ones that are motorized now and like can point at stars and stuff, but it's just as easy to manually do it too. So, you know, you need to get the SkyView app, John, on your phone. SkyView.
I have that. Okay. I have that. I've had that for a while. But I took it apart tonight to make sure I have all the pieces and then put it back together to, like, make it sit better.
Yeah.
And I'm like, girls, we're going to see our space. And they're like, we don't give a shit. Like, we can't understand. Like, I'm, like, 42, and I'm, like, just wrapping my head around.
That's like, so cool,
my 5 and 2-year-old are like, I don't get it. I don't even know.
They're going to be able to look
what the clouds are.
They're going to be able to look through the viewfinder and see the rings of Saturn and see the actual rings of Saturn.
Like see things that like
right now
might not even be there. Right. Yeah, dude.
Yeah. That's what blows my mind.
That's so cool though. I mean,
it's so hard for me to have that. Clark, what is your background?
It's the movie Gettysburg with Jeff Daniels. Bennett.
Are you sorry your ass now, John?
If you Google, I just Googled telescopes, like how much they are. Just on the first page, it ranges from $35 to $34,000. Like that's like the first 10 Google search results. It's like quite the disparity. Like, yeah, I'll get like a $40 one. Oh, you know what? This $19,000 one looks a little bit better. You never see that. White. Usually it's like
super rich white people.
They go.
wait.
But you got to really love the stars to get 20,000. Gettysburg.
Jeff Daniels was Lawrence Chamberlain in Gettysburg. Gettysburg.
But wait, Jeff Daniels.
Yeah.
Not Harry Dunn.
Harry Dunn himself is Chamberlain, yes. And he has this great scene where he's like
Jeff Daniels from Dumb and Dumber, who was in that amazing show, Clark, that I thought the dropped Comey this report. Week.
Yeah. That you thought apparently dropped this
it was,
week.
Apparently it was 2 years old.
Yeah, the Comey report, man. That's a good show.
Today.
That was a good show. That was really good.
Dude.
I wish they played Jim Comey more like he kind of was, though, which he's a little bit of a clown for what he did.
I know. He's like a wannabe stand-up comedian. Like, whenever he's on the news, I'm like, all right, Jim, all right. We get it. You're the guy that's going to ultimately put Trump in the cellar.
Yeah.
But you're not a comedian. Stop, you Jewish New Yorker.
I felt like
it's not the guy, all. You're not all Larry David.
The scenes with him having dinner with Trump were like just uncomfortable enough. But you're like, no, this is probably how it was. But it was so uncomfortable because it's like,
to not only go fucking punch for punch with the funniest human being of all time, Jim Carrey, but then. I don't know if you guys ever saw Newsroom or
it was good.
With Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah,
I was like, he's one of the best actors we have. Like Jeff Daniels is so underrated.
So underrated.
He did Gettysburg, where he played Chamberlain, a very serious Civil War general in 1992. I think Dumb and Dumber came out in 1994. So he went from Lawrence Chamberlain to Harry Dunn,
dude. He may have been filming both movies at the same time.
Potentially.
But there's way he shot anything between both of those.
No. I think you gotta step out of that.
And they were like, who do we get to match up with Jim Carrey? Jeff Daniels. He played a president last year.
Easy choice.
Jeff Daniels was in Terms of Endearment from like the early 80s with Jack Nicholson. I mean, he was playing, like, I think a college professor then, and that was like 82, 83. So he's been around for so long. And then he's another one that kind of like reinvents himself. He's so underrated.
Yeah, he's so underrated. It's so weird. It's like he changes, and then Hollywood starts like casting people to do what he did like a year ago. Yeah. You know, the guys that never did that a year. It's like he sets trends that doesn't get appreciated.
Good call.
He went punch for punch with Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. And when Jim Carrey tried to go out and be serious, they couldn't do it. It just didn't fit. It didn't fit him at all.
It was like Truman Show. It could have been anybody. It was like the story was unbelievable. Jim Carrey. Yeah. You know what? It wasn't Jim Carrey in that movie. It was just the idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think it was more that, the idea, because that's what
I think so. About. It was such an original idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awesome, but
yeah. What was the other movie that came out around the Truman Show that was really bad? It was it EdTV with Matthew McConaughey?
They follow the guy around live all the time.
It was like the same movie, but didn't have
same
any
concept.
It's bad.
Yeah, that was some really bad stuff there.
It was really bad.
I just need to get a little water. I'll be back in 1 minute.
All right, you guys. There's a lot of movies. There was a list I saw recently. It was amazing too. It was like the exact same movies came out at the same time.
Okay.
And it was like Deep Rising, or what was the movie with Elijah Wood?
Deep Impact.
Deep Impact and Armageddon came out at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to find that list, but it was actually kind of amazing. You're like, oh yeah, these are like the same plots.
Yeah, they are. But Armageddon, I think, kicked Deep Impact's ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody remember Deep Impact.
No.
But it was.
It was like Independence Day, then Armageddon, and then it was just not
anything good.
Yeah. What was the other one? There's. Oh, here it is. It was. Deep Impact and Armageddon, Ants and A Bug's Life, The Prestige and The Illusionist. EdTV and The Truman Show, Dante's Peak Volcano, Red Planet Mission of Mars, Steve Jobs and Jobs came out. There's like 100 of them, but it's amazing when you look back, you're like, oh yeah, these were the same plots. It's that like came out at the same time.
Maybe these studios should like deconflict a little bit before start like say, hey, you guys can shoot first. We'll give you like a year head start and then we'll go after you. We'll release it the next summer.
Right. Right. Exactly. I am looking forward to Twisters, the sequel to Twister coming out.
I remember when I was in sixth grade when that came out. I remember seeing that in theaters. Right? I love that movie.
Yeah. Oh, it was so much fun.
So good. Yeah, it was fun.
I remember too that the scene where they're in the
My memories of Twister. Twister came out in 1996.
Yep.
When I was graduating, I was finally leaving St. Jude School. And that it was the same summer that The Rock Mission Impossible, like the original, the first Tom Cruise Mission Impossible came out. Yeah. That summer Independence Day came out that July. That
like, unbelievable.
Dude, that 96 was like, it was like redo of the blockbuster. It was like every month there was a blockbuster. And yeah, Twister,
that was a good was summer like, for movies. Yo,
there's never been a movie about tornadoes. And Philip Seymour Hoffman is in it. Yeah. And Helen Hunt and her amazing breasts. And that guy Paxton. Who's not alive anymore, Bill Paxton. Apollo 13.
And like Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah, both sadly. Ones. You know, I remember
Oscar
when,
winners.
Yeah, I remember seeing Twister in the theater and the scene of the drive-in when the Twister's running through the screen. They had the Shining on thing.
Like,
and I remember like
breaking the bathroom door as the screen's getting ripped apart by the
just at that part.
Whatever. What do they call it? The finger of God.
The movie is always funny though when they're like Carrie Elwes and Bill Paxton's like, oh, that's Carrie Elwes. He went out and got himself some corporate sponsors. He's not in it for the science. He's in
he
it
went
for
out
money.
And did a,
like,
he went out
all that
and did
tornado
Robin
money
Hood,
that
Men
corporations are throwing out. There's no money in tornadoes, but you know it's Hollywood. So but he's like, he got himself some corporate sponsors. It's like there's not sponsors for tornadoes.
It's all college. It's all like geeks or college professors and students that are doing that stuff.
They don't have Dorothy. Yeah.
It's an instrument pack for studying tornadoes.
It's like universities are funding them. Just go there. But it's like, he went out and did Robin Hood Men in Tights.
He's got a big black Suburban and like, the trailer behind it and those new Plymouth Voyager vans that had just come out that summer. All in
they're
black following them too, everywhere.
Like, it looks like a presidential motorcade. And they're
like, can't we just make the tornadoes the bad guy?
Yeah. Let's just,
it's like
we have to
Godzilla.
Fight each other.
It's like in the Godzilla and King Kong. It's like, just make the monster.
Just
like
make
Jaws.
The monster.
Jaws knew what it was doing.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Godzilla is a franchise they have to stop trying to make. It's like, we don't like the monster. Stop with the brief. Nobody's watching it. King Kong is okay. King Kong knows how to do it. People go see King Kong. Nobody sees Godzilla. It's just, they just keep trying to redo it every 10 years.
I feel like they underestimate, it's like when they try to do Godzilla, they underestimate the Japanese filmmakers. They're like, but there was really like no plot. It's like, it's a lizard.
Right,
That is the plot.
The old Godzilla where he's stomping on like a town you can tell that they built like in someone's basement. That was more fun to watch than the other one.
Right, that's what was fun about it.
Like when King Kong travels through like a tunnel through the core of the earth and like defies, I'm like, all right.
It's too much. He's just a big gorilla.
They just eat a bunch of Asian men.
Right, that's all we want to say.
They wreck cities.
Right, it was like when people were so like let down by Jurassic Park Dominion, I'm like, it's Jurassic Park 6.
Yeah, it's
right.
The same
what do you
thing.
Expect?
Oh, the dinosaurs are going to try to get the people.
Like, the idea in the original book, that was the most compelling.
By Michael Crichton in the first movie that came out.
Just the idea of
right.
Oh, what if this?
Just because
anything after that. Anything after that, I just want to see cool dinosaurs. I have no expectations. I'm not expecting Shawshank.
Right. Yeah. You're a fan of the franchise. That's what you're going to get what you expect.
Like Dominion is on Peacock and I've watched it like four times because I just like dinosaurs. I like Chris Pratt. I like Goldblum. And
it's got a James Bond feel to it a little bit.
You know that lever action, bugs. That lever action gun he has, Chris Pratt has in that Dominion one, the Jurassic Park one.
Yeah.
If you remember, I actually, after that movie came out, I had one of my friends shooting it at the range and I shot it and I went out and got it after that too.
Oh, hell yeah.
It literally says on the website, it shows like what the animals you can kill with it. And there is like a T-Rex on it. Like this is funny as hell.
Have a T-Rex.
When the you're dying.
It's stupid. It's really dumb.
Just in case.
It's a fun gun to fire because it's big and it kicks the hell out of you. It's a good time.
It's good. I thought
it was cool how in that movie it was like, we don't have war with bombs anymore and we don't have war like on the battlefield. It's like, what would you do? You would like fuck up the food supply, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah, like bio.
Cool idea if they started it in the first one.
Well, like an electromagnetic pulse.
Yeah.
Electromagnetic pulse. Knock out everything, knock out the power, knock out all the communications, and then you can go in and do what you got to do.
It's like
Die Hard.
All this stuff that we have that's so valuable that's not like tangible. What if the non-tangible version of it was also unavailable?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's like a light switch.
Well, like our cell phone.
Our
cell phone networks here in America, because we also still have landline networks. We still have a vast landline network. Our cell phone networks would be so easy to take down overnight. Now, if you look at, everybody talks about the Chinese.
That hacker.
And how the Chinese are a big threat, and they are a big threat. But if we wanted to, disrupt, take them down, they don't have a landline phone network like we have. They have mostly cell phones and wireless stuff that we can take out pretty easily and at least get them there. But
Bob, I read that article. I read this article on Friday, I think, and it was like if we went to war with China, we would obliterate them.
Well, we wouldn't obliterate them. It'd be hard to like to figure out a winner because basically the whole world economy would collapse.
There is no winner.
We would see something that we hadn't seen since World War II. We'd probably lose a couple carrier fleets, entire carrier fleets, to include the aircraft carriers, a couple hundred planes. It'd be a naval war more so than a land war.
Oh,
and we wouldn't obviously so we wouldn't go nuclear on each other. So
no.
But then there'd be all this stuff. Obviously they're gonna hack the shit out of us. We're gonna try to hack the shit out of them.
It would be like maybe the never ending. That's what I loved about Oppenheimer. He was like, maybe this will be the last bomb.
Yeah. And then he realized when they're trying to make the hydrogen bomb, it's like, no.
It was like while they were trying to finish the atom bomb, they were like, wait a minute. This one could like that crazy guy. I like that character. And I love how Emily Blunt like didn't shake his hand like that. That whole thing. It was like. Yo, he might be the smartest guy. This one here that figures out the hydrogen stuff.
Yeah,
it was so good.
I think the hydrogen stuff was a lot more difficult. Well, obviously it was, but I never understood how that worked. How it's just, and it makes sense because it works almost the same way as an atom bomb does, where you just compress the hell out of it until it, it.
And it's like the chain reaction is like never ending.
Yeah. Well, it's just much bigger.
Yeah, but that was their fear. It was like, it'll just keep going. It'll just keep hopping on more oxygen.
When they talk about it early in the movie, and then he's sitting in the bunker with Matt Damon, like, right before, like, the night before they're going to do it, and he's like, well, there is this one part. And Matt Damon's like, wait a minute, you said there's a chance. Like, what kind of chance? Like, 0%? Like, 0.1? He's like, no, there's like a chance. Zero. Yeah, I would like to hear zero. Where and he's you like, start the chain reaction, and it'll just light the atmosphere on fire.
Like Matt Damon was us. And that's why I'm like,
yeah,
supporting Oscar, I think will be tough because yes, Downey was just unbelievable. But when Damon showed up, I was like, okay, I'm going to feel smart again. Like he's going to like loop me back into what the human, he's like, this is the most important thing that will ever happen in the history of humanity.
And he's not wrong.
Yes, it is. It is.
He was the perfect character to put in there. And I'm not sure how accurate his character was, if it was, you know, kind of like a molding of a bunch of different characters that were dealing with it on the military side. Because obviously those guys are physicists. And
the non-scientists.
Yeah. But he was put in there. So, you know, we, you know, 99.9% of us walking around every day who watch the movie are going to be able to understand half that shit. So
that's why, like, when I got out, I was like, Damon, like, without him, this movie has a big hole.
Yeah.
And obviously, Robert Downey Jr. is the antagonist. But, like, I feel like the voting will be close on who just is that character that keeps you, like, invested.
Yeah. Yep. That's true. I didn't think of that.
And of course. Because maybe I'll get to make you guys laugh again. Yeah. So that'll keep
No, telling. It always helps.
Whatever keeps you going, buddy.
I love you guys. Yeah, any time for sure. Please.
I love you guys. Awesome.